if you want to be saved from a disaster or a difficulty or some worry or some problem or an issue, a person to be saved from that, he tries to protect himself or herself. And maybe there's very seldom anyone who doesn't do that. It can be impossible that if somebody knows that there's a danger, there's a hazard, and he doesn't try to avoid that danger or hazard, or he doesn't prepare to avoid that danger or hazard. For example, that we are leaving home and there's rain outside, if it's raining. So we'll try to protect ourselves from the rain. If you've got an overcoat, you'll wear that, or if there's a hood, then nobody will leave and not utilize the hood. He'll pull the hood on top of the head. And if somebody knows from before that I'm going to go into the rain, then a person will take the umbrella out of the cupboard before leaving home. And others who are extremely cautious, they look at the weather forecast and they check what clothes shall I wear when I leave home. So this is natural for human beings to save oneself from hazards and dangers. And Allah has put this into our fitrah. For example, we have buildings, we're in this building of the masjid, and there's an emergency exit, and there are fire instructions if a fire takes place, and if we don't put them up on the wall, it's a law, a safety law. Astaghfirullah, na'udhu billah. That is it every day that the fire takes place here? May Allah Ta'ala not allow this, that it sets on fire or there's a fire. But we are sat down, satisfied that we have prepared for the worst case. Here's the door, the exit. Now who will come to the masjid to do this? But no, we'll lock the masjid when we leave, that we need to secure the masjid, lock the doors, and we do this when we leave. So what do we call this? Precaution. Precaution. Being cautious and preparing for the worst case. If, for example, the sickness is about to come, you'll see now, every man will start to now take the flu jab. Flu jab. Astaghfirullah. Does everybody get a flu every year? But they by force say, no, beyond this much age, you have to have the flu jab, you might get sick or get the fever. So it's natural for human beings to learn and take precautionary steps to save oneself or all of us from problems. So alhamdulillah, we have experienced that all our life long, we are trying to protect ourselves, protect ourselves, protect ourselves. But at one stage, Allah Ta'ala explains to us, and that is the place that we need to be saved from losses. But our brains are damp today. They are sealed and locked and blank and don't want to understand the reality of that day when we need to be saved and protected. Here, even when there's no fire, we've got the safety factors in the building. If there's no rain, person will leave home. If sun is out, but he's got the umbrella in his hand, oh, maybe it will rain later. Maybe. Especially the elderly, they do that. So here, we prepare for things that may never occur. But the asal conclusion, a massive place to come, the disaster that is to come for many people on a certain day, and it's a very significant day, such a severe day, which cannot be, there can be no greater event for a human being. And what is that? To return the journey, the return journey. Is there any greater journey? That person who's laughing, joking, messing around, and suddenly he's gone. He's with us, next second he's gone. He's walking, talking, laughing at home, talking to the family, gone. Mother goes, father goes, daughter goes. There are people like this amongst us, who are sat amongst us, young people, and they've gone, disappeared. Yes, we used to meet them. Oh, he prays Salah with us. We used to travel together. He's young and they've gone as well. So this is a life that will pass. It is not forever. We have to depart. We have to leave. So how shall we depart? How? Where are we to go? Where will we go? That person should think, where am I going to go? And most of all, that the thing that will start in the hereafter is the adab of Allah, and Allah Ta'ala will grab Allah's displeasure. And Allah Ta'ala has given two paths. One is those who have been demoted to the bottom, and those who have been promoted to the top. The seven layers below, Allah Ta'ala has made Jahannam. Remember, Jahannam is below. It's below. And there's a lot of distance between where we are in Jahannam and hellfire. And for the people of Jannah, where is the maqam? Allah Ta'ala has made Jannah close to His arsh, close to His throne, subhanAllah. Jannah may we be close, may the Jannatis be close to me, Allah says. May they see me and I see them. Subhanallah. So this is Jannah. So those people in Jahannam will be buried in the layers of the earth, beneath the layers of the earth. We need to decide today, make a decision. So now, to be saved from the calamity and destruction in the hereafter, we have to have something, isn't it? Just like with rain, we take an umbrella. So to be saved from the hardship, from here to the hereafter, what are we doing? What are we doing to protect ourselves? Are we doing anything? Allahu Akbar, Allah is so great. And the biggest factor here that we need to consider, that and the biggest issue that will drag a person into Jahannam, and it will take a person into hellfire in such a way that he cannot come out of Jahannam forevermore. Allah knows best how long is he going to stay. It's not in his control. Allah has given us control here. Choices, decisions. We have our free will. I can do this. And Allah says, after such a time, I will take you from the world. The stars will break, the moon will break, and the sun will break, and the earth will evaporate, and the mountains will crumble to dust. Everything within a second. Everyone who is buried in the grave, everybody will come out, and the earth will expel them. Expel them. Get out of your graves. Get out of your graves. And it will toss them out. The people who have died and who are in the graves now. That I have no link with you. I'm not here to keep you forever. I just gave you a bit of protection for some years. Get out of here now. Get out of here. The earth will say to those in the grave, and those who are deceased, they'll have no clothes, no coffin, no coffin, nothing. Everybody will be stood up on that day. And I won't recognize you. You won't recognize me. Nothing there. Everybody distressed. Extreme stress and worries. So Allah Ta'ala has mentioned this in the Quran. We read the Quran every day. In every page Allah is mentioning this event. In the Quran. On every page Allah has mentioned that death is going to come. The hereafter. Getting up from the grave. So is there anything bigger than this? Any event bigger than this that we should save ourselves from? No. But we are so ready for it. Oh, it's going to rain today. Let's check the weather forecast. Where are we traveling to? Are we protected? But that life that we are going to go to the hereafter, and everyone before us is gone. And if we ask those who went before us, then what did you do? And we know everyone, our mother, father, uncle, auntie, relatives who've died. What did you do? Did you leave without protection? What happened to you after death? Yes, because automatically we won't get protection from Jahannam. Astaghfirullah. Is it automatic? Protection from Jahannam? Oh, it's alright, do what you want and Allah will save you anyway, automatically. No! The most dangerous factor I'll tell you today, which the Quran has mentioned, which will give us the biggest destruction in thereafter, so that we can learn. Allah has given us the ma'amulat, that there are people who've left before us, and eventually we will also go. May Allah Ta'ala save us from the adab, from that punishment, because we are not going to be just automatically saved from that. But there's one sin, one action, one factor. Allah Ta'ala will not take those people out of hellfire. And it's a severe sin. All of the sins, the worst adab punishment will be for this sin that we're going to discuss now. So should we not be saved from, should we not save ourselves from this sin? What is that sin? Shirk. Shirk. Shirk, no person recognizes today that am I a mushrik or am I a mu'min, a believer? Am I doing shirk? Or am I a mu'min? My words are sometimes a little bit different. You might say they're weird, but they're not. They are unique. Listen carefully to what I'm saying, because this is related to the pain of the heart. Who am I speaking about? Iman, the people of Iman, not people who don't have Iman. One is the shirk that you see clearly, visibly. The shirk. That you have idols, worshipping idols. But shirk is such a big sin, such a big sin, that even the people of Iman, Allah said, be careful, you can also do shirk. وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ Allah says, you can be included amongst those people. Yes, Allah says, save yourself from one action, one sin. Then don't do shirk. Save yourself from shirk. Shirk is a severe sin, the worst of sins with the worst consequence. If you can't be saved from rain, if you can't be saved from fire accidentally, then how will you be saved from shirk? What guarantee do I have and you have that you'll be saved or I will be saved from shirk? Yes, is there a tarkib, a method, technique to be saved from shirk? There must be. If we've adopted those techniques, then welcome and congratulations. But shirk is such a sin. The hadith have mentioned the examples of the mushrikeen, that it is such a sin. Shirk enters into the heart so hidden. If you take a dark night And in the dark night, you have a dark black mountain. And in the black mountain, there's a black spider. Allah says, shirk is hidden even worse than the black spider on the black mountain on the black night. You can't see the shirk. May Allah Ta'ala forgive. So is a mu'min, does he not have the signs of shirk? No? That isn't lying, hypocrisy, a sign of shirk? If you count the sins, where do they lead to? Where do they lead to? They lead to this same action. Lying, hypocrisy, haram, unlawfulness, talking nonsense, fighting, quarreling, hasad, envy, jealousy. This is all shirk. Isn't it? One is shirk. We think shirk is a man. He makes an idol or a statue or a but and he's prostrating the idol. Yes, of course. That is the visible and clear shirk. But if shirk was so simple to understand, why would Allah say, and the Rasulullah say, be careful, careful. Because shirk goes into the heart of a person. And shirk, you can see it. You can see it. For example, I'm speaking in depth today, so we'll understand what is shirk. And I'm speaking to myself, not to you. I'm addressing myself. How? That Allah Ta'ala has given us iman. Allah has praised iman. Iman is great. Belief is great. Fantastic. To have these are those people, Allah says. Mu'mineen, mu'minat, those people who are in danger of shirk. That Allah says, when they fear me and they never reject any of my orders and my advices. Allah says, they have a lot of fikr, worry. Is Allah unhappy with me? Is Allah angry with me? Is Allah displeased me? And these are the people with this sift are those who have iman. Is this not the case? You read Quran, don't you? Then look at the pages and read the understanding. Allah Ta'ala says, the people of iman, they're worried so much. The mu'min is worried about Allah. That is Allah happy with me? Displeased with me? The mu'minin, mu'minat, on small points, they cry. They ask others for forgiveness. They do istighfar. Istighfar bil ashar. All night long they do ibadah. They tremble. They shake. They read Quran. Recitation, tilawah. Their feet swell. And then do istighfar, Allah, ashar. The Allah, after doing all this worship, they're mourning. Their mourning is based on what? Allah, I've done nothing. Allah, I've done nothing. Allah, forgive me. Allah, forgive me. I'm nothing. I'm dust. I'm dust. Allah, forgive me. I'm a mushrik. I'm a mushrik. I've done shirk. I've done shirk. My heart, what? Because shirk, where does it emanate from? Shirk, it emanates from where? What is the fountain of shirk? It's in the heart, the feelings of the heart. This is the initiation of shirk. What is anger? Anger. When a person's angry, then who is he opposing? He's opposing Allah. He's challenging Allah. Anger is a very common thing. MashaAllah, you're doing tazkiyah, rectification, you're trying to clean yourselves, you see clearly. I see those who are doing dhikr, mashallah, ticks, dhikr, dhikr, salah, tick, 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 dhikr, tick, 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 salah, tick, 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 mashallah, very good, mubarak, congratulations, very good practice you're doing. Look at your salah, tick, 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 everywhere, ticks, 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 mashallah, so beautiful a preparation Allah has given to you, and those people who are practicing are adheem and great, and Allah wants this. Allah says, wala takunu minal mushrikeen. So this is it, isn't it? All the sheets were saying, ticks upon ticks, salah, yes, 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 majalis, majalis, yes, yes. Not one majlis is being missed. Not one. Dhikr, tick, 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 everywhere. But when comes the sins, then tick, tick, cross, cross, tick, tick, cross. And some even leave their sheet. Oh, too many crosses, I can't do this, I can't show this. Leave it out. No. No. Allah Ta'ala says, I like the effort. That's what I want you to make effort. Allah Ta'ala doesn't look at the result. Allah Ta'ala says, I don't prefer the result. I'm the one who gives the result. Allah says, Subhanallah, Tahta man tasha. Innaka, Allah says, Tahti man tasha. It's in my hands. I can give the guidance who I want. But you try, make effort. Alhamdulillah, I won't send you back. Sa'i mashkur, Allah says. That my court is very broad, expansive, deep. It embraces everyone. There's a reason Allah says, I want to give you success. I look at your effort. You're working hard. How much do you work hard and strive and sweat? And the more a person is striving on this tazkiyah system of the sheets, that whatever he's doing is azeem, what he's doing, great. And yes, fair enough, if the crosses come, let them come. Put the crosses down. Be honest. There's a reason for it. There's a reason. Because Allah wants this. وَلَا تَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ The Mufassireen, the commentators have stated that Allah is hinting it, that try to save yourself from shirk. If you don't try, then you won't be saved. Will you? If you don't try, you can't get the result. So obviously there are two things. One is those who try, alhamdulillah, most definitely they will eventually be saved from shirk. And when they depart from this world, they will leave in the state of iman. And there'll be many people who call themselves Muslims, Iman, I'm a big head, I'm pious, I'm the best, and they'll trust their deeds and worship. and proud, but they will rise as mushriks on the day of judgment. They will rise as mushrikeen, as those who didn't do it for Allah. They had a showing of pride, showing other people's status. They didn't do it fi sabilillah. The same salah, same ibadah, same worship, same ilm, same Quran, same knowledge. Everything will stand. Allah, this person's a mushrik. He didn't do these things for you, Allah. We know why he did these. And Allah will say, I know as well. But they will speak themselves these deeds against us. That if only you, O Muslim, only if you, O believer, tried your best. Tried. If only you try to leave this sin of shirk. If only you try to take it away from your life. Isn't it necessary, my brothers? So we don't consider ourselves as mujrims, as criminals. Allah says, you thought you were pain-free, pious. But Allah Ta'ala says, I will tell you how much of a criminal you were. That in the world you did shirk, the idols of the world, mal, wealth, children. What are you inside for your children, for your wife, for your children? For this so-called life, love, Allah says, you broke my laws. You did haram. You earned haram. You did haram actions. Your whole life is haram. And I've told you, you cannot be a mu'min. This is the mu'min and haram is two opposite extremes. They can never be intertwined. That a person can do a lot of work of the deen and ibadah, but alongside that, he's got to have a certificate that I, alhamdulillah, despite this effort, worship, work of the deen, Allah has given me the tawfiq to do this. Along this in parallel, I'm trying that I put the umbrella in my hand and I have the shield on top of my head. Where's the protection of shirk in your hand? Allah Ta'ala says, that Allah, I'm trying. We say, no, it's okay. For example, if Allah makes us do the work of the deen, and we're doing work of the deen, propagating deen, we become big head, I'm a solid Muslim, angels will come to me and help me, and they will intercede for me. No. You can be strong, healthy, mashallah, you can have everything, status, body, everything. Tell me, if a few drops of rain fall, will you not be afraid? Ooh, quickly take cover. Even if you're big, strong, powerful, muscular, to save your body and your clothes, you'll use the protection. Yes? Even if it's a drizzle, light rain, if it's spitting, you'll want some protection. Even if a person is any stage of the deen, any maqam of the deen, but the protection is necessary. The protection is necessary. And all of these points, do these things, do the work of the deen, but there are two groups. One are those who try, Allah gives them maqam, piety, they worship. The more they do, the more they are elevated, and these actions are important for them, subhanAllah, because they utilize the umbrella that Allah Ta'ala gave them to save themselves from shirk. So what do we need to do? Is that Allah Ta'ala's rewards are coming, and we are progressing with the deen, with the fadl of Allah, and alongside that we understand that shirk, I don't want shirk to come into me, and I take the protection of shirk into my hands. Is there not a difference here? There's a big difference, tell me. So take the percentage out and tell me how many people are there who are protecting themselves from shirk. If you saw someone, that I will keep the Quran as my standard. Not talking, what will be our standard? The Quran. If we should compare ourselves with the principles of the Quran, the words of the Quran. How much am I protecting myself from shirk? Am I doing right or am I wrong? Am I practicing according to the Quran? No, I try. I do what I want to do. I do this dua, that dua. This is nothing at all. When Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَتَكُونُ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Read this verse. Understand this verse. Say, is anyone who can read the verse before this? And tell me. Anyone? This is a verse, I think, from Surah Rum. Ayat number, I'll tell you. What is the verse number? I didn't prepare this speech, but I have read this verse, so I'll tell you. I think it's 30, verse number 30, maybe. I think it's verse 30 of Surah Ar-Rum. Does anyone know this verse? In this verse, Allah Ta'ala says that save yourself from shirk, subhanAllah. So Allah Ta'ala's rahmah. After that, how do we save ourselves? Allah says, save yourself from the rain. Use the umbrella. Allah says, and use a hood on your clothes, or keep some resources with you, or wear the coat, the overcoat, to save you from the rain. So Allah says, save yourself from shirk. So Allah says, do this action to save yourself from shirk. Do this action. So Allah says, say loudly, subhanAllah, loudly. Allah, end of story. That's it. That's all we have to do. But we've taken the umbrella, and the rain is coming, and we don't want to use the umbrella. This is Allah who's given us the umbrella. We still don't want to do it. Allah says, وَلَا تَكُونُ. Otherwise, you cannot be saved from The rain. Allah says that this is, I've done Allah, I've done this action, I do X, Y, Z to protect myself from shirk. No, you can't do what you want. You can't follow your self-taught ways. You will morning and evening be drowned in shirk. Doesn't matter if you're a muballigh, speaker, knowledgeable. If you are not using the tools and the resources, the program that Allah Ta'ala has given, if you don't have that in your life, then you cannot be saved from shirk. Within a minute, you will be lost. Allah says, this happens, many, many examples of people who have fallen down into the ditch and lost all of their status. So a person with a little bit of a gust, years of ibadah goes down the drain. Years of ibadah. Oh ho. These are unique points that Allah Ta'ala is explaining to us. Wallahi, I'm also with you, and I'm thinking this the first time myself. With the barakah of you, Allah Ta'ala gathers us together, we speak together, say Subhanallah. Allah puts us together. There's such a great karam of Allah that not even 24 hours have passed and we are gathering again. Allahu Akbar. And this is the style of Jannah, of the people of Jannah. Allahu Akbar. They will wander in Jannah, then our majlis will come back in the evening every day. We'll wander around in paradise. Allahu Akbar, and the majlis will come back. This will be what we do here, we'll do in paradise. In a country of Europe, in England, we're living in Britain, we live in Europe, where the life to pass the life, those things are around us, alhamdulillah. We know, I'm saying it for this reason, the people have made these things up. And such things are around us, such distractions, that are continuous all night long. You could be sitting up, enjoying yourself, thousands of things you can look at, thousands of scenes, and you can get lost in that. But Allah Ta'ala, for His friends, has made an ajeeb resource, dhikr of Allah, subhanallah. And we don't go anywhere else. Why doesn't this person go, this young man, oh, let me take my wife out today. Let's go out today. There's a function and we'll do this and we'll have some food and we'll just, oh, let's go to an ice cream party today. And why don't you go, brother? Why don't you just leave her and go? But that same face comes in front of me and I come in front of you. And mashallah, we're learning from each other. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So these majalis, how are they established? Subhanallah. 24 hours have passed. It looks like what we said yesterday, even yesterday's words, the effects have not rubbed off. I told you about the standard, the flag. Say Subhanallah. And even now we're in a trance. We're in a trance from yesterday. The full effects have not rubbed off. The bayan, mashallah, Rasulullah's greatness, his status, his glory. And then again we've come together. And again Allah Ta'ala is making us speak and understand and learn from each other. And now tonight what we discuss, the effects of tonight will not rub off until tomorrow. And the kamal is, I'm speaking, and mashallah, you don't sit back either. You don't stop or cease that, oh no, let's leave here. He'll speak, or we can leave. You're not fed up or frustrated, are you? Oh, we're getting bored. No, you're listening carefully to what I'm saying, attentively, and that's why you're saying Subhanallah, isn't it? You like what I'm saying, that's why you're praising Allah. Subhanallah. So then you'll be prepared again for tomorrow. If I say to you that tomorrow there won't be dhikr, you'll say, complain, why isn't there dhikr tomorrow? You feel like there's a hole in your life, that we've lost something. Something's been stolen. Then you'll pester me in the evening like madmen, that where should we go? What should we do? Because we don't like any other function or any other pastime. We don't like guests at home. We don't want wasting time or tafri. We don't like doing other things. So our hearts will feel, what's happened? How should we pass the time? What should we do? What's happened to Hazrat Sahib today? He hasn't come today. And some people start fighting, quarreling, arguing. Where are you? Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. How Allah Ta'ala changes the hearts. And where's this happening? Where's this happening? This is not some village in Surat, India, or in Baruch, or some village of Pakistan, that as soon as it's night time, the lights go out, people go hiding in the houses in the winter. No. These are those nights in this place where nights, people stay up all night long. Here people are alive, so called, in the night. Oh, it's time to stay up now and be merry. This is when there's life. We need to enjoy ourselves, people say, during the night. And that's when people spend their time all night long. So that's when we're doing the action we're doing now. So do you understand what I'm saying, brothers? So in this verse, if we look at this verse, Allah's given a program that save yourself from shirk. How? Allah says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And the person who doesn't do this, he will die as the mushrik, as the person who is doing shirk. Is the Quran not telling us, will you do amal on this, inshallah? Say yes. Subhanallah, in Surah Rum, verse number 30, and I'm not saying this, I might be wrong, that this is the verse. I think in my mind it's verse 30. You can check. Okay, Allah Ta'ala says in this verse, مُنِيبِينَ إِلَيْهِ وَاتَّقُوهُ وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Subhanallah, isn't this the verse, Mulana sahab? Yes, if you know this verse. So, what a great communication of Allah. Save yourself from shirk, Allah says. And how? The first point. What does Allah say? Munibina ilayhi. First step you have to do to save yourself from shirk is what? Munibina ilayhi. Ruju ila Allah. Turn yourself to Allah. You understand what Allah is saying? Ruju ila Allah. Allah says, those people turning unto Him only. Allah, how do we turn to You? How can we focus on You? How do we concentrate on You? How do we think about You? What shall we do? This is the first protection. Allah says, فَذْكُرُنِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. That there's no greater action than doing munibina ilayhi. The fastest way to turn to Me, Allah says, the speediest way to turn to Me, what else should you do? Remember Me, do My dhikr. فَذْكُرُنِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ, Allah says. You understand now what I'm saying? We're saying, no, no, why should we do dhikr? I do other actions. I do other work of the deen. I don't need to do dhikr. Why do we need to do dhikr? I said, it's essential, because tomorrow you won't wake up as a mushrik. The one who is a dhakir, who does dhikr, can never wake up as the mushrik. Impossible. Subhanallah. May I be sacrificed for Hazrat Ali Murtaza, rahmatullah, my sheikh. May Allah instill noor into his grave. We were mushriks before that. We were doing shirk. I speak about myself, I did shirk, I was drowned in shirk. I thought my salah was great, I thought my ibadah was fantastic, I thought I was the most pious, I read Quran every day. But when I came in front of the mirror, who was the mirror? The sheikh is the mirror, subhanAllah. When I stood in front of the mirror, then I realized I'm a mushrik, and I'm just still a man, I'm a sinner. I should be grateful Allah has given me the mirror so I can see my reflection. Because I was ascribing partners. Don't be upset. Allah says, why do you want to break the mirror? Many people get angry. They want to break the mirror. Why are you, Shaykh, telling me what's wrong with me? People say. So they grab hold of the mirror. And they start throwing rocks and stones. But the mirror laughs at them. You madman, recognize me. I'm your friend. I'm your friend. Why do you break me, shatter me, throw stones at me, hurl rocks at me, criticize me? I am telling you, giving nasiha, put your surma on, correct your beard. Why? So when you come outside, people will praise you. So this mirror, what does it tell you? The sheikh who's the mirror, he tells you, advice, I'm your friend. I'm advising you, taking your defects out of your life. Tomorrow when you wake up, leave this world, then Jannah will be waiting for you. My colleague, just like your friends will receive you outside. Wow, mashallah, you made a good face today. You've trimmed your moustache and you've made style on your beard and you look good. And you've put on nice clothes, you put the tie on and the shirt. And your mirror will tell you this, innit? And your mirror will tell you look smart. And the people say, oh, you're looking good today. So your sheikh, who's your mirror, and when you're in front of the sheikh and you're making yourself up, looking at yourself, making yourself look beautiful, then tomorrow in Jannah, the Jannatis will wait for you, your hoors, your partners, that, oh, this beautiful man's come. And we're receiving him, say subhanallah. So whoa, so easy. And the great favors of the walis of Allah on us, their majalis, their gatherings, their tawajjuhat, their focus, attention, their love. We don't even know who's our sheikh. Does he love us or not? Let me tell you this now. If the sheikh, if you want to see the love of your sheikh, does he love you or not? Then the first proof of the love of your sheikh is that you love your sheikh. Subhanallah. So you could never love your sheikh if he doesn't love you. So ask yourself the question. Yes, people have doubt. Does Hazrat Sahib love us? Does he focus on us? Does he think about us? I'm not a sheikh. I'm just talking about my sheikh. But we're worried about this. There's a very easy way to know that does your sheikh love you? Look into your heart. That if you have love for your sheikh in your heart, then your sheikh loves you. Oh madman, otherwise how could you even dare to love the wali of Allah if he doesn't have love for you? And focus on you, and remember you, and discuss you. The more you're immersed in the love of your sheikh, then your sheikh is greater. Then subhanAllah, he is also immersed in the love for the student. But he has haya and modesty, that he doesn't want to keep on repeating and telling you, I love you, I'm remembering you. Sometimes he wants to, but it's not necessary for you to force your sheikh. But you need to see that in the hereafter, in Jannah, in paradise, when your sheikh will embrace you and wander around with you in the hereafter, in paradise, subhanAllah. This is tasawwuf, my friends, massive statements. Massive. Our sheikh, he did parda, he's left us. Our sheikh is not with us today, my sheikh. But mashallah, I'm mutma'in, I'm satisfied that he's not far from us. He's not distant from us. Subhanallah. The sheikh is always assisting the children. If he saved us from shirk, then that's the greatest friendship. Can we repay his favor? Never. Never. So, I say it clearly, I was a mushrik. I was drowned in shirk. And every man who is not prepared, who is not on the path of suluk, the Quran says he will depart as a mushrik from this world. A person who didn't have the umbrella, who was getting wet in the rain, who didn't have the protection. Whether you accept what I'm saying or don't, if you believe what I'm saying or don't believe, fine. But if you don't believe, you'll run away in the wilderness. And subhanAllah, Allah saved us today. So the first point, munibina ilayhi, Allah says, come to me, turn to me, turning unto me only, Allah says, only. Dhikr Allah, remember me. That's why we emphasize doing dhikr. If you keep on doing dhikr, 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 then step number two comes. Allah says, if you do munibina ilayhi, then you'll get to step two, which is what? Wattaquhu. Allah says, when you do dhikr, 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 munibina ilayhi, then you'll get to step number two, which will wipe out shirk. Step number two is you'll have khawf and fear and love of Allah at the same time in your heart. Wattaquhu. Step number two. So you won't practice out of fear. No, no fear on its own. Fear and love. Sometimes fear will be above, sometimes love will be in front. And both these characteristics will allow you to enter into the abode of Allah's obedience fully. Not just that you're practicing out of Allah's whole fear, I'm scared of Allah, if I don't practice. No, love will also take over. My Rabb will be unhappy with me. I should do this. Why am I running after this woman? Why am I doing zina with this female? Why am I looking at wrong things? And out of love, the tears will come out. Allah is unhappy with me. I'm crying. When you have these two emotions, love and fear of Allah, then both these emotions will give one conclusion, that you will obey Allah, you will not disobey Allah. So what stage is this? Step number two in getting rid of shirk. And it comes after number one. One, number one is dhikr Allah. Number two is love and fear of Allah. But we fail in step number one, begging, come brother, come to dhikr, do your dhikr. Why don't you do your dhikr in the morning? No, I ain't got time. Oh, you didn't come to the majlis? No, I ain't got time to come to the majlis. And that's why we're not free from the dunya. So essential, and we don't do dhikr. Don't we even understand today? Do you understand the simple learning of today? So if our dhikr is not correct, then taqwa will be weak. Subhanallah. If our dhikr is correct, what's the sign? Allahu Akbar. If dhikr is correct, the sign of our dhikr being correct is that we have no other means to do wrong. We have no means to do wrong. Yes, that there's no measurement gauge to say is our dhikr correct. There's only one measurement gauge, one measuring rule, that the shaykh, your shaykh, the dhikr is given to you. Are you doing it fully? If you're doing fully the dhikr that your shaykh has gone, then your dhikr is successful. Not too much, not less. If he says do 100 tasbih, do 100 tasbih. Not more. Hazrat Thanwi rahmatullah was asked that what's success for the student, Hazrat? And Hazrat Thanwi Ram, they say a beautiful point I'm sharing with you, that in this line of tasawwuf, what's the sign of success? He said two signs of success, two, in the path of tasawwuf. What are they, Hazrat Sahib? That when we go to our shaykh, what is the success when we go to our shaykh? How are we guaranteed to be saved from shirk? First you have to do dhikr, then step two, you'll have taqwa. If you're weak in dhikr, if you're weak on taqwa, if we're doing sin, what's the reason? Because our dhikr is weak. Munibina ilayhi is weak. We are not doing the dhikr that our shaykh prescribed to us. Otherwise it's impossible. The Quran tells us, if your dhikr is done properly, to the amount that is required, and it's being done regularly, then definitely step number two, wattaquhu, you will start to leave the sins. And how is your dhikr correct? The tariqah, the method, the quantity, the amount, the time, and the amount that was told to you. Don't do more than that, don't do less than that. Don't start to run into, I'm doing more, I'm pious, I'm better, Hazrat Sahib increased it, tell me more to do. This is waste of time. Waste of time. Don't waste time. Be satisfied in what he has prescribed to you. Bi-idhnillah, that from Allah Ta'ala's hikmah and wisdom, the shaykh, the feeling that comes into the shaykh's heart, he has told you how much dhikr to do. Subhanallah. And this is from Allah. 2 points, 3 latifah, 4 lessons, 5 lessons. Be grateful, beyond grateful, beyond grateful, and be steadfast on this. What are those two things, Hazrat Thanwi Ramadan said? Two ways to be successful in your dhikr. Number one, have intention. Number two is what? To do it and you'll be successful. Yes, that's it. Make the intention and practice. So when your dhikr is regular and it becomes successful, then secondly you will come to wattaquhu. Then you'll start to obey Allah. Atiullah wa atiur rasul. You'll come onto this platform. And then when both these things are done, then Allah explains the third thing. When the third action doesn't come in your life, then shirk has not left your life. Subhanallah. So step one, two, three. First is dhikr. Second is taqwa. Obey Allah and his Rasul. So first is munibina ilayhi. Turn to Allah. Do his dhikr. Wattaquhu. Obey Allah and his Rasul. And waqimu salah. This is salah. That's step number three. Aqim. No praying salah. Have you prayed? Yes, I've prayed. Have you prayed? Yes, I've prayed. No. Aqimu salah. Establish salah. And the person whose salah is lofty, high, then he has cut the shirk to pieces. His sajda, ruku, his tasbihat, his speech with Allah, communication to Allah, he's speaking to Allah, Allah's listening, Allah's answering. Ihdina siratul mustaqim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ihdina siratul mustaqim. Then ruku, sajda. Can a mushrik do these actions? This is such an ibadah salah that even if he's standing in front of the world in jama'ah, congregation, or if he's in hiding in nafl salah, same conclusion. But in both places, there's no difference. There's no difference. What's the difference? In both places, there's no difference, whether you're praying in congregation, jama'at, or on your own in your house. Woman, because the woman's weak, and the environment affects women, and England affects women a lot, Manchester affects women a lot, Bolton affects women a lot, they are good women, pious, and then when they come here to this one, oh, parda comes off, we've come to this hemisphere. We've come to this country now, it's not necessary for us. And those husbands who are good, and they come without parda, and then they come and wear the burqa. What have you done, sister? But I've married a wali of Allah, mashallah, who's interested in my well-being. And then when she leaves and goes back, they say, oh, what's up to her? She's got burqa on. She says, why are you asking me? Ask that person who's done this, subhanAllah, who's advised me. And they ask her, what's up to you? They say, don't ask me, ask him who has made me become better, they say, subhanAllah, when they go back to their homes. So what we realize here, mahal, environment, dunya, coming, going, is not a difference of the environment. The difference is, the person who obeys, observes Allah Ta'ala's orders, the Quran, the Sunnah, alhamdulillah, that person, his whole generation, family, descendants are improved and changed. Are there no examples in front of you? They are there. People are there. Someone comes here, sisters come and take their burqas off. Others come and put their burqas on. Once I was coming, I think I was on Umrah, or was it Hajj? And in the plane, it was Saudi Airlines flight, there were sisters, they had burqas on, the hijab on, couldn't see anything, totally covered. Saudi Airlines flight, coming back, they were sleeping. Everyone was sleeping. There, everyone's going on holiday. If you know Saudi Arabia, you have to wear the burqa, and they wear three burqas, and totally covered, alhamdulillah. And then when the aeroplane landed, back to the UK, went to the luggage concourse, I said, huh? Who are these women? Huh? But I just saw these women, this many women. No, one of them, every one of them had taken their burqa off, wrapped it up, put it in the handbag, Western libas, attire, makeup, and foundation. Huh? Who are these sisters? They were we were in Saudi Arabia. The God there is someone else, and the God here is someone else. Na'uzubillah. Huh? This is the statement. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what is shirk then? Is this not shirk? Is this not that those people who live in those countries, and when they'll get out of their qabr, what will happen to them, my brothers? This is a massive event to come, and we are all to die. Do dhikr of Allah, dhikr of Allah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why do we do dhikr? Do you understand now why we do dhikr? Do dhikr to bring on wali Allah? To see dreams? No. Allah says do dhikr so that you can become obedient, so you can be saved from shirk. That's why if you're lazy in dhikr, you don't feel like doing dhikr in the morning, you don't come to dhikr in the evening, then straight away correct yourself, I might do shirk. Maybe you will die in the morning because maybe you'll die in the morning. If you leave dhikr, then maybe you're in danger of shirk. Like we see the weather. Oh, is it going to rain tomorrow? Is it going to be cloudy? It's a storm. And then you leave home without the umbrella and you get immersed in water. And that's why you have to be so careful. Allah says, وَسَبِّهُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَسِيلًا. Do it morning and evening. Not a second of your day should pass without dhikr. Because if maut comes that day, maybe you will die as a mushrik. And maybe shaitan has overtaken you. Your heart every second should do munibin ilayhi. Every second turn to Allah and be focused on Allah and do the dhikr of Allah. Because shirk is a very dangerous reality. Shaitan worked the hardest, jinnat worked the hardest. And shaitan works hardest on what factor? He's trying his hardest to make a person a mushrik. A person a mushrik. Remember what I'm saying. Do you understand what I'm saying or not? And a person who understands, put your hands up. Put your hands up if you understand what I'm saying. Put your hands up if you understand what I'm saying. Yes? So I know that you're listening. MashaAllah. Good. So brothers, my colleagues, this ma'amala, the most hard work and effort, open the Quran, I guarantee to you. There's no protection. The Quran might make you a mushrik. The friends, well, where did the Qadiani come from? Where did he come from? The Quran was there for him. But even they did not accept. From these same kitabs, shaitan made that person a mushrik. Not a mushrik, he said, I'm a Nabi, I'm a prophet, na'uzubillah. And he said, no, I'm Masih. I'm the savior. I've got wahi. I've got revelation. Oh, I spoke to Jibreel. He read the same Quran. He opened the same Quran. He read it. and maybe he did hifz, maybe he memorized, maybe he did tafsir, he gave dars in Sialkot. He had majalis and gatherings. But why did he become a mushrik? He had protection. He didn't have a link with the wali Allah. He didn't do dhikr Allah, and he lost everything. He lost everything. And see that how essential is to have the link, the connection with the wali Allah. A sheikh, is this an option? It is compulsory. Is it an option? How can it be an option? It's not an option. Essential part of life to have the connection with the wali Allah who does your tazkiyah. So Allah says, munibina ilayhi, secondly, wataquhu, wa aqima salah, and your salah will then be established. You'll have such a salah that you will shake like a tree branches when you come to him. Look at those sahaba, who for them good tidings were coming. They were told, you are forgiven. Ashra Mubashra, the greatest jamaat, the sahaba, the 10 companions, Rasulullah said, you are destined to paradise. And imagine their hal even after getting the good news. They kept on doing astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. They used to cry, shake, tremble, their bodies to shake. And about them is stated, they kept on asking after. There was such a person, there was a sahabi, he was given the list of the munafiqs, and the Ashra Mubashra would ask him, are we in that list of the munafiqs? The ulama know about that list. Sahabi, Ashra Mubashra. Allah Ta'ala says, I'm happy with you, radiyallahu anhu. Allah has given the message. And this is the sign of Aqeemu Salah. We think we're walis of Allah, prayed Salah, I'm a wali, and I am the best wali in the world. And how are we praying Salah? Source, I'm saying now openly, I'm saying this, but I'm not saying this to create groups or speak against anyone. But shirk, people that put stamp, he's a shirk, he's a mushrik, kufr, shirk, this, kufr, shirk. We put the seal on it. But go and stand in front of the mirror of the wali Allah, and you'll realize that what is shirk. Never, I'm speaking about the true wali Allah, I swear by Allah, all my life I sat at the shoes of my shaykh, not once in my life, never did I go to his majlis, or from his blessed tongue, from his blessed words, did he ever say he's a kafir, shirk, he's an imposter, astaghfirullah. Never did I hear from my blessed words of my shaykh. Every individual came and took the fares and the blessings and the goodness from the company of my shaykh. Hazrat Sahib never rejected anyone. He's from this firqa, this group, this sect. No, the wali Allah will never reject anyone, on never discriminate and never create groups or factions. No, he would see that people are sinful, they're not good, they maybe their aqeedah is not correct, but never did Hazrat reject them. Never would he mock them, rebuke them. No. Just one factor, which is the wali of Allah says, what is that? La ilaha illallah, du'ala zibada, believe in Allah. That's it. Wahdaniyat, oneness of Allah, oneness of Allah. Leave shirk. And I swear by Allah, and I tell you this is haqiqat, the truth. No debate, no fatwas, debating. And nowadays, you go and sit down in a talk, in a masjid, in a debate. First, he's a kafir, he's shirk, he's bid'ah, innovation. They look at you, is he doing what I'm doing? If you're not doing the action that he does, oh, he's a mushrik. Where's this mushrik come from? And the one person telling me 2 days ago, somebody phoned me, I was surprised that I was put into the masjid, I was serving the masjid. After doing something, much, I was asked, what are your aqaid, your beliefs? I told them my aqaid, my beliefs. And they said, okay, right. So 3 days after a committee came, a year and a half, I served the masjid. A lot of service for the masjid, the house of Allah. Maybe he's listening to what I'm saying. He sits in the dhikr of Allah. And he came and told me that the committee came and said, Mawlana Sahib, we want to speak to you, essential. I said, huh? What's the issue? Maybe the committee is happy with me. I've served the masjid for the public. I've improved people, their imams. The committee said, please come into our room. Please sign on the sheet. He said, what's this? They said that this jamaat, that you are a kafir. You're a disbeliever. He said, astaghfirullah. These are my ustads. These people that disbelieve. So I said, the committee, how can these people be disbelievers? They said, no, you have to sign here. These people are not believers. Otherwise, get out of this masjid. Astaghfirullah. Imamat. He said, no, I leave imamat. I leave everything. I go. And just 2 days ago, he told me this. 2 days ago, how he's rejected. Nowadays, with such ease, we put labels on people's heads. Allah saying in the Quran, we're not worried about ourselves. We're worried about other people. Never fall into this trap. This is the biggest fitna in this day and age today, to criticize others. Worry about yourself. Don't put labels on other people, shirk and kufr and this. Why should you worry about others, what they are? You follow the right path yourself. Don't criticize other people and look down at them, criticize them. Analyze yourself first. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Keep on doing this dua. Allah Ta'ala showed us sometime, man, maybe this person's wrong. Do dua. Allah will show you the right path. Allah will definitely show you the right path. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. This dua I used to ask, because there were so many fitna around me. I said, Allah, my Mawla, show me the straight path. Allah, ihdina siratal mustaqim. I am a sinful. This person looks like a peer. This person looks like a sheikh. I speak about myself. This person's got miracles, etc. But Allah, show me the right path. Show me the right guidance. I remember an event. Subhanallah. There was a person, Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi, and he was on a safar, on a journey. And he was in the journey, and obviously the Wali of Allah goes to the masjid, and he asked about the masjid. He reached to a certain city, he asked about, where's the masjid? He said, I want to rest it. He said, this is a masjid, don't you understand? In a masjid you can't rest. He said, I'm a musafir. He said, no, you can't rest here in the masjid. Pray your salam, get out. Leave the masjid. He said, I will leave the masjid. Can I pray? He said, yes, you can pray. Pray salah, and then please depart. No resting and sleeping and no place here for you. So he was a bit upset. He said, I have traveled a long way. Where will I go? And he was a bit upset. He said, okay, he prayed salah. He took quite some time. He prayed his complete salah. And then he left the masjid. When he left the masjid, he saw there were two other journeymen there. They said, Maulana, where have you come from? He said, I've come from here. They said, oh, come with me. I'll give you some water and drink, tea, rest, refreshment. And he went with them. He said, okay, fine, I'll come with you. So they took him home. They said, rest here. He said, no, sit here. I'll make tea for you. I'm poor. I have nothing at home. I've just got some dry bread, some dal from last night. I can present this at your service and you can rest in the masjid. You didn't get any space, but no problem. Eat what I've got. And he sat down. He gave him some food. He said, after giving the food. So he went and sat in a corner. He raised his hands and he was asking and crying. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was watching him, the host, crying and doing dua to Allah. When he was free, he said that you gave me food and bread and dal, and what are you doing in the corner? What were you doing in the corner? And you were doing dua. He said, I was ashamed. What can I tell you, Mulana Sahab? I have a very old habit that there's something between me and Allah. He said, what is it? Tell me, share with me. He said that I'm ashamed telling you that this is between me and Allah. He said, no, tell me, what is it? He said, the secret is that I, for many years it's happened that I do a dua to Allah. Keep on asking Allah one dua from many years. And if that dua is accepted, he said, what is the dua you're asking to me? He said, ask this dua that there's an Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, and I love him so much. And my heart, it feels so much I want to see him. He's a wali Allah, and I love him, and I feel like I want to see him. I want to sit with him and have his company. I ask Allah, Allah, I'm poor, I can't go to him. Allah, please take me to his company. Subhanallah, subhanallah. You're asking this dua? He said, yes, Allah, please take me to the company. Allah hasn't taken you to him. He's brought him to you. He said, what are you saying, Mulana? How can you say this? He said, I am Imam Muhammad himself. I'm in front of you. And there was no journey I had, no reason. This village wasn't in my plans. This is your dua. It's the strength of your dua that I've come to your home. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. So Sheikh, do you have to look for a Sheikh? Tell me, do you have to run after the sheikh? Do you have to go for thousands of miles? Where do you need to find? Show me if you can find a sheikh. Go wander around the whole world and show me, can you find a sheikh? But when you ask from Allah, I swear by Allah, within 10 minutes the sheikh will knock at your door. If you're sincere, that can you tell me the way? How do I need to get somewhere? That's it. And you will meet each other, the eyes will meet, and your success will start straight away. So I've seen these events in my life, my brothers. I've seen this. Allah says, I always ask Allah, Allah, save me, Allah, give me guidance, show me the straight path, Allah. I used to ask this. Allah called me to Medina, I sat down, I went to Ashab Sufa in the morning, Allah gave me food, then Hazrat Sahib came in front of me, subhanallah. And Allah said, assign yourself to this is the Shaykh. He is pure, clean, pious, he has nothing else to his name. No dunya, just run after him. So this is the way, me and you, if we plead and beg, Allah himself will automatically send the person to you. Automatically. If you run after rizq, roti will come. If you ask for a car, the car will come. Doesn't it come? If you ask for a child, a son, a daughter, will it come? If you ask for a wife, the wife will come. If you have yaqeen, you ask Allah for all these things. So ask for the sheikh, will the sheikh not come? Of course the sheikh will come. But we don't have qadr, appreciation. When the sheikh comes, no. He's like, this is too strict, he doesn't do this, he scolds us, he's this hard or that. We are ungrateful. And when a person becomes ungrateful, then the nisbat, the connection between the student and the sheikh, Allah cuts it and he floats away. And then the student hates the sheikh, and the sheikh The student goes far from the sheikh. And I've seen this in my life as well. The student criticizes, becomes ungrateful, doesn't appreciate. The student had so much love and muhabbat for the sheikh, within minutes he disappears because he's ungrateful. Never be ungrateful. The greatest ni'mah in the universe is the company of the sheikh. I'll give the example. After years, he did dua in the corner of the room. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal came to his own house. But could he have been ungrateful? Imagine how grateful he was that Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal came into his own room because of the sincerity of his dua. So my brothers, this ayah that I have recited in front of you, may Allah's fadl come on us. May Allah save us from shirk. We need to try to save ourselves from shirk. If we don't try, then shirk will not go far from us. First step is what? Munibina ilayhi. Do dhikr of Allah. Turn to Allah. How do you do dhikr? Exactly the way your shaykh has told you. Don't be lazy. Don't leave it. If you're lazy, what will happen? Maut will come. If death will come, what will be the hal then? We don't do dhikr. We run away from majlis. And the death will come. Then we'll be grabbed. Shaitan will take us in the hal without iman at death. Any majlis Allah establishes. How could I come to this majlis today? Tell me, I could not come without Allah's permission. I could not come. I'll tell you the truth. Impossible. Yes, and I'm seeing, I stood. I said, Allah, I can't go today. Wallahi, today I spoke to Allah. I said, Allah, I can't go. I'm not well. I'm not able. Allah says, I'll deliver you there. I'll send you there myself. Subhanallah. And I arrived. I thought, how did I get to this majlis today? Every time this challenge is there, you cannot move. We cannot move without Allah's permission. We are far from Allah. We should speak to Allah out of love. Request, connect to Allah, I can't go, it's difficult for me to go, I don't feel like going, Allah make it easy for me, I'm stood it. And Allah says, no, you're going to go. I thought, how can I go today? My heart is weak, I'm ill. Allah said, I will take you there. I swear by Allah, this was how weak I was, so I was not able to come. So brothers, Allah Ta'ala establishes this majlis, Allah sends you to the majlis, Allah brought you, this brother, every individual Allah brings here, subhanallah. What should we do in repayment to this? We should be doing shukr, grateful, my Mawla, your massive favor on the day of judgment. I'll realize these words, the majlis, you taught us about shirk today, the subject of shirk, step one dhikr, step two taqwa. Did you know about this verse before today? The commentary of this verse? Tell me the truth. Did you know the tafsir of this verse of the Quran today? That how can you be saved apart from the company of the shaykh? Many big gatherings, you're going to talks, taqreers and tafsirs. And how useful today you've learned how to be saved from shirk. But when you sit in the majlis of a fakir, then you've understood shirk, the maqsad of life, and how to be saved from shirk and what is shirk. No man can consider himself in this majlis today that he's free from shirk. We're all drowning shirk. Pick up the tasbih, shirk will run away. Subhanallah. Bring the tasbih into your hands. Make this tasbih your life. Dhikr, do dhikr, taqwa will come. And then you will pray, they establish Allah, and you will go towards Allah. Value the wali Allah, value your shaykh. If Allah has given you a shaykh, I swear by Allah, there's no greater gift. You can shun every gift of the world, but no gift is greater than the company of the wali Allah. Every majlis, every emotion, every need of the world, reject it. Majlis now, our shaykh is there, leave everything in the world and say, I'm running to the majlis of the dhikr. We'll sit there and do the work of Allah Ta'ala's remembrance, and we'll strengthen our iman. Allah's guarantee, wala تَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَا تَكُونُ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. You do these three actions, you will never be the mushrik. And the person who's not a mushrik, alhamdulillah, he'll come in front of Allah. And what a great wealth he'll have. Allah will say, go laughing, smiling, walk into paradise. وَأَخْرُ دَوَانَ أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.